food bloggers. Hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Eat Blog Talk podcast. This is the place for food bloggers to get information and inspiration to accelerate your blog's growth and ultimately help you to achieve your freedom, whether that's financial, personal, or professional. I'm Megan Porta. I have been a food blogger for 13 years, so I understand how isolating food blogging can be. I'm on a mission to motivate, inspire, and most importantly, let each and every food blogger, including you, know that you are heard and supported. You may or may not have noticed that I've really been prioritizing mindset-related episodes lately, given my new mindset and self-care episodes that are released every Wednesday starting here in 2024, which is why I loved having Lauren Woodger from The Scatty Mum join me in this episode to talk about this very thing, mindset, and how important it is to establishing a solid base to build your business on. Lauren has been blogging for a few years now, and she talks about all of the things that have really helped her with her mindset in her business. Things like prioritizing connecting with other bloggers, celebrating your progress every day if you need to, taking a productivity course or really focusing on being a more productive entrepreneur, limiting your comparison or just comparing yourself to you, and so many other things. This was a really well-rounded and good quality conversation. I hope you enjoy it. It is episode number 524, sponsored by RankIQ. Are you tired of falling through the cracks as a seasoned food blogger? It's just assumed that once a food blogger gets to a certain number of years or a certain level of traffic, that they don't need resources or direction any longer. We're good, right? No, we're not good. This couldn't be further from the truth. Seasoned food bloggers need guidance and relevant information too. There are ways to find the guidance and support we need, such as high-quality mastermind groups and retreats, but if those options don't align with your budget or your schedule, then you're kind of out of luck. We are relegated to sorting through all the information in Facebook groups when we don't know how trustworthy the sources of information even are. All of this is exactly why my friend Melissa, the blogger behind Mama Gourmand, and I have decided to put together a workshop-style summit geared specifically toward advanced food bloggers. We are gathering no more than 50 people in Denver, Colorado in May 2024 to give monetized food bloggers the love and support they need and deserve. Go to flavormediasummit.net to get all the information you need about speakers, dates, our vision for the event, and to fill out an application. This experience is going to be highly valuable and one of a kind. We cannot wait to see some of you there. Many of the spots have already been taken for this event, so if this is intriguing to you, fill out an application today. Go to flavormediasummit.net, follow the link to tickets and application, and apply today. Lauren began The Scatty Mum in 2019 as a hobby blog to share allergy-friendly recipes when her daughter was diagnosed with multiple food allergies. In 2022, she took the leap and left her day job to focus on her blog full-time. Even though her daughter has outgrown her allergies, Lauren still understands the struggle of preparing meals for everyone. She is passionate about creating easy, allergy-friendly recipes that the entire family can enjoy. Lauren lives in Surrey in the UK with her husband and two children. Lauren, welcome to Eat Blog Talk. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm so excited. I was just telling you that everyone I've talked to today has had the most lovely accent, and you are not an exception. So yeah, thanks for being here. We're going to talk about mindset today. But before we get into mindset, do you have a fun fact to share with us?
I do. Back in the 90s, my footprints were on the single cover of an Oasis single. Now, I don't actually know if Oasis were big in the US. I mean, they were absolutely huge in the UK. So I don't know if you know. Do you know who Oasis are?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So that's my little claim to fame.
So your footprint was on their cover.
Yeah. So it was a single called All Around the World. So it wasn't one of their biggest. But we were basically, it was back in the 90s. I was like a teenager and I was at the beach with my friend and her family. And someone, the beach bit next to us had been closed off, and someone had come over and said, oh, can you go and play football and just run around on this beach? And so we were like, okay. And my friend's mum was like, what are you doing? And they said, oh, we're recording, photographing the single cover for All Around the World. So basically it was All Around the World written in the sand, and then all around it was footprints. And they were my footprints. So
oh
yeah, a few months later, the single came out and there they were. So yeah.
This is why I love prompting people for fun facts. Like, would this ever come up in conversation? No, never.
Never. I don't think anyone knows that. I mean, yeah, it's been buried for years. So
I'm going to go look it up. I'm going to go look at your footprints later. Okay, that's super cool. Love it so much. Okay, so we're going to talk about mindset today and just keeping mindset at the top of our minds as we kind of navigate through our blogging businesses. I think this is so important to talk about. To frame that, we would love to hear a little bit about your blog. So just give us a rundown of like when you started, what your niche is, and whatever else you want to mention.
Yeah, sure. So I started kind of back in 2019. I was working part-time in an estate agent. So it was kind of just working around my job. I love my job, but I was thinking, you know, childcare was always a struggle in the holidays and the kids were sick. So I wanted to try and do it full time. So originally, mum blogging was a big thing at the time. And I thought, oh, I'll start a mum blog, hence the name of my blog. That's why it's called The Scatty Mum. I just haven't changed it. But then I had a massive crash of confidence and I didn't want to be plastered all over the internet. So I was like, what can I do? So I've always been obsessed with food and cooking. So I thought food seemed like the ideal option. And then when I was kind of Googling how to start a blog, everyone was like, oh, you need to have a niche. I was like, what can my niche be? And my eldest daughter was diagnosed with a cow's milk allergy when she was born. And then as we were weaning her, we discovered she had other food allergies. So an allergy-friendly blog seemed kind of the natural option. Thankfully, she's actually outgrown all of her allergies now, which is amazing. But at the time of starting my blog, I was kind of like in full-blown allergy mum mode. So I was cooking separate dinners for my daughter to the rest of the family. And I thought there must be an easier way. So I kind of started creating allergy-friendly meals that we could all kind of enjoy together. So that then became the focus of my blog.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I was kind of doing it on my days off and on weekends and that kind of thing. I had no idea what I was doing. Didn't do the keyword research or SEO or anything like that. And then obviously COVID hit and it kind of took a backseat because of homeschooling and stuff. Yeah. And then after COVID, me and my husband were having a chat and was kind of like reevaluating life, which I think a lot of people did after COVID. And, you know, I was like, I really want to try and make a go of it. So we made a deal and he was like, okay, quit your job. And he said, you've got 6 months to make a pound. And if you can make a pound, we'll carry on. Or if we don't make a pound, go and get another job. So I was like, what have I got to lose? So I actually quit my job in April 2022. I scraped a pound in 6 months in affiliate income, literally scraped that in. But it gave me a bit more time. And then I literally put everything into it. And 18 months after I quit my job, I qualified for Mediavine. So in November, just gone. And yeah, here I am still going. So yeah, it's been a roller coaster, but I love it. Absolutely love it. So.
And so many people describe it that way, right? Roller coaster. It's like your own unique version of the roller coaster.
Yep.
Yes. Well, I love hearing about everyone's blog stories. And then I'm curious, do you still do allergy-friendly recipes, even though your daughter has outgrown them?
I do, yeah. I mean, I have a bit of, not an allergy, but a bit of an intolerance to kind of gluten and dairy, and so does my son. So we kind of eat that way anyway. So yeah, but I've still got the allergy-friendly niche, even though that she can actually eat everything now. But yeah, it's nice to be able to give back and help other families, because back then I was so lost. There wasn't, I mean, there's so much more around now, but 10 years ago there wasn't. So it's nice to be able to just, share recipes that everyone can enjoy. So
because when your kid has an allergy, and they do seem to come out of the blue sometimes, it can be really hard and scary and you don't really know where to turn. So I'm sure your blog is a valuable resource to many. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So at what point did you realize that mindset was playing a huge role in your success as a blogger?
Probably not until at least a year into doing it full time. As I said, I kind of spent the first year a bit like a headless chicken. I was kind of in every direction. So, you know, I was trying to learn SEO. I was trying to grow an email list, trying to go on Instagram, Facebook, and I was just not exceeding. I wasn't excelling at anything because I was just trying to do everything at the same time. So then I kind of, you know, took a step back. I read a couple of books, took some courses, which I think I'm going to go into later. And I'm still learning. I'm still not, you know, 100%, but my mindset and my focus is totally different to what it was like 18 months ago.
Oh, yeah. It's a process, right? It's not something you can
ongoing.
Just, you can't manage to do this overnight. There's so many components and it just is a long game getting to that point where you're like, okay, my mind's in the right spot. So what would you say are some of the pieces to this puzzle? What do we have to kind of put in place in order to get our minds in the right spot?
Yeah, so the first one is to connect with other bloggers, because I think we all know, don't we, blogging, it can be quite an isolating job. I mean, most of the time we're at home on our own. So I think it's quite important to make connections with others in the blogging world. So there's a kind of a few ways to do that. Social media, for all its sins, I think is a great way to connect with other bloggers. I had, like, when I first started, a couple of like established bloggers kind of just reach out to me. Once I'd followed them, they kind of just messaged me and said, oh, thanks for the follow. You know, nice to have you here, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, can kind of build up relations that way. So social media is kind of great for that. Also, I think if that seems a bit, if you don't want to DM other bloggers, that just start, you know, leaving supportive comments on other people's posts and things like that, I think is another kind of great way. Facebook groups are great for that as well. There's obviously the big one, the Food Bloggers Central, which I think is great. If you've got a question about anything or whatever, do a search and have a look and see if it's been answered, and if not, then ask. But then it's also a great way to help other bloggers and answer their questions, and you can kind of you see the same names and faces pop up in those groups. It's a good way to connect as well. Smaller networking groups as well. So I've joined a Facebook group called Connecting Bloggers, which was set up by Jen, Greedy Gay Girl Gourmet. Oh, yeah. She's actually been on your podcast.
I love her. She's so nice.
Yeah, she's so lovely. Yeah, she does kind of, it's just Zoom calls every couple of months, and it's normally quite a small group, and we just discuss a different topic each time. So it might be like Pinterest or AI or help, or like all my traffic's gone from the helpful content update, yeah, anything like that. But there's like a different level of bloggers in the call every time. So, you know, it's great to gain knowledge from like more experienced bloggers, but also you can help, you know, newer bloggers with your kind of tips as well. So that's another great one. Blogger meetups as well is a good one. I think in America, there's probably a lot more opportunities for this, like conferences and stuff like that. But like, for example, if you join in a mastermind or a smaller network group, there might be opportunities for meetups there. Like, Jen actually organised one in London last month. I couldn't make it, unfortunately, but I'm going to go to the next one because that's a great opportunity to actually, you know, connect with other bloggers in real life and get to know people.
Yeah, I think that for mindset, this is huge, because we can get in that bubble of thinking, I'm going crazy, I'm feeling so lonely and isolated, I don't know if what I'm doing is right even. And you can go down a really dark path sometimes, right? Especially if you do this long enough alone. So I think it's really good that you mentioned this one first, because this is so important. I ignored this for a lot of years, and please don't do what I did, because it did not serve me. I didn't get anywhere. My wheels were spinning constantly. This is a really big, huge piece.
Yeah, I did for the first year as well. And it's hard because you try and talk to your friends or your partner or whatever about it, but they don't really get it, do they? Yeah. Unless you're a blogger, you don't really get it. And, you know, I only worked in a small office before, but you had that kind of human interaction every day, and you talk about, I don't know, what you watched on Netflix last night or whatever. And you go from that to, you know, being, yeah, completely isolated, really, at home every day. So it's difficult. So, yeah, I agree exactly the same. I think it's really important. Just try and build up your own little network.
Yeah. And I like your suggestion just to start with social media and just start commenting on people's content or send them a DM if you're inspired by them. The Facebook groups can be really helpful as well. So those are really easy. Just like, you don't really need much to get started with that. You can just go in to start connecting with people. So it's really easy. Okay, what else do you need, or what else do you recommend that we do to stay on top of mindset?
Next thing is probably like to celebrate your progress. This is a big thing as well. So I have like a daily planner book where I kind of plan my day each day. I'm old school. Everything's written down. I'm not online. But in that, every morning, the first thing I do is I write down the number of sessions that I've had on my blog for the last 30 days. I write down how many backlinks I have and how many keywords I'm ranking for. And I get both of the last two bits of information from Keysearch. And it's a great metric to look back and see how far you've come. It's very easy to just kind of get caught up in the doldrums and going and going. Like, for example, I remember the day I qualified for Mediavine, I looked back in my book to exactly a year previously, and I was only on 8,000 sessions. And to me, thinking on that day a year before, or would I have been at Mediavine a year later, I would never have thought, because when I was at 8,000 sessions, it seemed so far away. But to be able to look back and think, well, actually, wow, that's great how far you've come. So just kind of recording metrics, I think, kind of helps. And it takes 2 minutes in the morning to write it down. It's just a nice, it's also a good way to stay on top of things. If things are moving in the wrong direction as well, you kind of can stay on top of it and know where you're going.
Yeah, I think this is a huge one. And like you said, it's so easy to do that, just to track. And even if you don't do it every day or week, I was doing for a while just recording monthly. So I would go back and like, okay, what did I get for page views in the last month? What did I earn for revenue this month? And looking back, there's something to that, just over time seeing your progress. But when you're in it, you never see it unless you're taking the time to intentionally see it. You know what I mean? So you need to make the time to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, yeah, unless, I mean, yeah, maybe I think I was doing it every day because I was trying to get my sessions up to qualify for Mediavine. Yeah. So I probably, yeah, head off a bit. But yeah, like you say, unless you've got that written down somewhere, it's so easy to just get caught up with the day to day and the moment. You're never going to know where you were this time 3 months ago or whatever. So yeah.
Exactly. So The Gap and the Gain, have you read that book yet?
I have. Oh, yes.
That's like the whole concept of that book, right?
I know. And yeah, it changed everything. That was one of the major things that changed everything. And I said to my husband doesn't read books. He's like, hates books, but he listens on Audible. And I was like, you need to listen to this book. And he listened to it in like 2 days. And again, he was like another convert. He was, yeah, it's amazing. We both love it.
So, yeah, that book doesn't just help entrepreneurs. It helps people with life and just realizing that you're always making progress in your life all the time. And to recognize that can be a life changer. Love this one. Okay, so far these are amazing. Lauren, what do you have next for just staying on top of our mindset?
The next thing I've got is to take a productivity course. And this was a game changer for me, really. And one of the things along with the books that changed everything. So like I'd invested in kind of SEO courses, Pinterest courses, that thing, but I never thought about actually investing in a course for myself. I thought it would be a waste of money kind of investing in a productivity course, but it actually changed my way of thinking and working. And the course I took, I mean, so many points, but a couple is, again, and I think it actually comes back to from Gap in the Gain, because you start with your big picture goals and what you want to achieve in the long term, and then you work backwards and you work that backwards into kind of a yearly roadmap, and then a monthly, and then a weekly, and then a daily. And then you kind of, she helps you map out your year and what steps to take to get you to that big picture goal. So it's kind of, rather than working towards your goal, you've got your goal and you're working back to how you're going to achieve that. So that was a really good thing that I took away from the course. And the other thing I took away from the course was focus work sessions, which I think it's called something else. Is it like the Pomodoro method or something?
Yeah.
But
right.
It's probably a little bit similar to that. But I'm quite, hence the name of my blog, The Scatty Mum, my mind goes everywhere and I find it quite hard to focus. So this was like a massive thing. So she suggested kind of do what she calls focus work sessions first. So that's kind of your most important task that day. So whether that's, I don't know, writing a blog post or writing your newsletter, and you set a timer. So you should just start in at kind of like 30 minutes or an hour. And in that time, you do that and you do nothing else. So you put your phone on Do Not Disturb, you turn your email off, you don't multitask, you literally just focus on that task. And that's been a game changer for me because I'd start writing a blog post and then my phone would ping and I'd check social media, maybe it was a comment or whatever, and I'd go off on a tangent on that, and then you'd get an email and you'd read an email, and then I'd go off on that, and before I know it, you know, half an hour's gone by and I haven't written a word of the blog post, which is what I was actually supposed to do. So doing this focused work session has been, it's been a bit of a game changer.
Let's take a quick break, friends, to chat about my favorite keyword research tool that I have found so much success with. RankIQ is a custom keyword library packed with low competition keywords that are easy to rank for and that also have high search volume. With the emergence of AI and question marks hanging over that topic, as well as the Google updates and algorithm changes that happen seemingly weekly, it is so smart to find a way to get steady traffic that will continue to grow over time. Including RankIQ in your keyword research strategy is such a good way to future-proof your blogging business. And here are a few additional things I love about it. The keyword research tool provides so many great ideas for content that support my existing database of recipes. Whether you're a new blogger or a seasoned blogger, it can help add quality content to your blog. Also, it saves me a ton of time. I can typically get a new post kicked out in 2 hours, often even less than that. And I don't ever have to guess about how successful a keyword will be before spending hours writing about a post on the topic. Go to rankiq.com to sign up and see for yourself how awesome it is. Now back to the episode. Those focus sessions are amazing. We used to host them. We still do in the accountability group if you're inside of that here at eBlog Talk. And I sometimes join them. And it is amazing how much you can get done when you're intentional about setting things aside, putting your phone away, clearing your desk, like that sort of thing can take you so far.
Yeah, it's silly. It's crazy how just a little thing like that does, make a difference, but it does. And, with like the phone thing, because it always used to be like, I used to think, what if the children's school needs to get a hold of me or whatever. But I mean, I've got an iPhone. I'm sure it's the same for other phones, but you can set it so certain numbers can get through. So I do that, and then you can fully switch off and concentrate and know that, you know, if anyone important needs to get you, you can, but otherwise it can wait. So yeah.
I just heard this tip on the radio yesterday. They were talking about ways to just like not have your phone be so appealing, and apparently there's a new setting in the iPhone. I haven't looked for it yet, but you can change your color to black and white so that it's not as appealing.
Boring, yeah.
Yeah, so it's boring. So you pick it up and you're like, I don't want to look at black and white food. So you just put it back down. So I thought that was really interesting. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, no, me too. That sounds good. Yeah,
anything to increase productivity, I'm all over that. So I feel like you're in my brain, Lauren, with all of your points. This is all stuff that I'm like, yes, 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 cheering you on. Okay, what else do you have in addition to the three amazing points you've made so far?
The next one is to limit comparison. This is one that, as I say, I'm not perfect. I'm on this journey too, and I do still struggle with sometimes, but I try really hard to try to, you know, avoid comparing yourself and your journey with others. You know, I remember when I was, you know, just starting, it was very easy to compare yourself with the bigger bloggers, and you think, how are they doing all of this? And, you know, how have they got to Mediavine, or how have they, you know, done this so quickly? But again, it goes back to the Gap in the Game book. But focus, like compare yourself with yourself and focus on your own growth instead of comparing yourself to others. And as I said, I know it's hard. Kind of ways I've tried to do this now is I set a timer on my phone for social media, and I've got a certain amount of time. I've also kind of changed my feed. So fill it with positivity. So I fill it with things that are going to fill my cup rather than, you know, make me feel down. And just kind of remember that, you know, social media, people only show their best bits, don't they, on social media. And it's very easy to think that everyone, you know, for example, I don't know, you look at a blogger and they're doing these amazing reels, for example, and she's got this grilled cheese sandwich with this like cheese pouring out of it. It looks amazing and it's like a really great reel. But you don't know whether that's taken her all morning to film because she dropped the first two, or the cheese didn't pull. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Or she had a migraine that day, or she went to edit it and it all deleted. Like, you know, all you see is that finished reel. So I think that's what we've got to kind of remember, that, we don't see the full journey.
Or somebody else could be creating that for her.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is the hardest one, in my opinion, because we have so much opportunity to compare ourselves, not just with social media, but just seeing other people's blogs and their homepage designs and the way their emails are so beautiful and structured. And like, there's so many things that we can compare that it's really hard to put our blinders on. Do you have any special tips for us?
Again, it's just, as I say, this is a bit of a work in progress, this one, for me as well. But just, it's very easy to just say don't, isn't it? But again, you know, just try and compare yourself with yourself. That's all I ever tell myself, is that social media is like, it's like a shop front, isn't it? And that's all it is. And you know that you probably only put your best bits out on social media. So if you're doing that, everyone else is doing the same. And it's just trying to kind of just keep putting that in your brain that's the way it is. Yeah, it's a really hard one, that one. Really
it
hard.
Is. Yeah. I like what you just said though, comparing yourself with yourself and prioritizing that instead of like just not allowing yourself to do it with others. Like, okay, if I'm going to compare, I'm going to compare with myself. And that's it. Yeah, that's great advice. Okay, what do you have next, Lauren?
So my next one is to concentrate on one main goal at a time, which is, what I said earlier about when I started and I was trying to do everything, which, didn't get me anywhere. So for example, if your main goal is to get into Mediavine, that's what you concentrate on and kind of put everything else on the back burner. And I don't mean like don't do any of those other things because they still need to be done. But for example, once I had in my head, this was kind of like at the beginning of last year when the mindset thing really kind of kicked in and I decided, right, this year I'm going to go for Mediavine. And I had a goal that by the end of December 2023, I was going to make it into Mediavine. So I kind of put everything else on the back burner. I stopped doing reels on Instagram. When I published a blog post, I would publish a photo of that recipe and share it to the story. But that was as much as I did. And I put everything into going for Mediavine. So I took Cooking with Keywords course. I then had an audit with Casey. And I literally just created as much quality content as I could and updated as much as I could. And they were the things that were going to get me to that goal of Mediavine. And it was my goal but to do it by December. I did it in November. So then I think, right, now's the next thing. And the next thing for me is Pinterest. But kind of everything else went on the back burner last year because I wasn't getting anywhere trying to do it all at once. So I kind of think if you have one main goal in your head, kind of focus for that. And then once you've, whether that be qualify for Mediavine or whether that be your next goal might be to produce an ebook cookbook or something like that, make that your main priority and then kind of everything else can wait, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That does make sense. I think it's smart to do that. And you have to be a little bit stringent with yourself on this one, at least I do, because those shiny objects pop up and it's so alluring to think, oh, I could fit that in. It'll be fine. And then you do it and you're like, wait a second, this is not good. So it requires, for me, just a little bit of strictness. And then also accountability too. Do you ever get accountability with things like, please keep me on track, that sort of thing?
With myself or with other people?
I was thinking more with other people, like, please hold me accountable for this.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of other bloggers and groups and stuff. Yeah. We kind of have like accountability sessions and stuff, which I think, they're brilliant, aren't they? It's really good.
That works well if you have a problem or not have a problem, but if you struggle with that. Okay. What else, Lauren, for just staying on top of your mindset?
The next one's a big one for me. This is kind of really one of the biggest things that helped me. And it was to write a timed daily schedule. So I plan my day out every day from kind of when I get up until the end of my working day, which might sound a bit extreme, but I've had to do it because my focus is so bad. And the way I do it is I write my schedule for tomorrow. I would do that today. So I would make it my last job before I close my laptop. I would write out my plan for the next day. And then doing it that way, when I wake up the next day and open my laptop, I know exactly what I'm going to be doing that day. So I kind of give each task a time frame roughly. Obviously, you're not going to know exactly, but as time goes on, kind of how long it'll take you to write a blog post or send a newsletter, that type of thing. And I could try and stick to it as much as possible. I mean, obviously things happen.
Yeah.
But I now add in kind of lunch and breaks and exercise and stuff like that, which I didn't do before. And that's helped as well. So, before I just have a list of all the tasks I needed to do, but now I'll have everything kind of timed out and then I have my set lunch break and I find it works really well for me. Otherwise, I get up, open my laptop and think, oh, what shall I do today? Yeah. And then I might spend half an hour checking my rankings and you just get lost, don't you, otherwise. So I find personally that having a schedule and doing it the night before, then when I wake up that next day, I'm kind of ready to go.
I think there is so much power in what you do, doing it the day before, instead of doing it the day of, because then you have time to kind of, even if you're not consciously thinking of it, you have time to let your subconscious kind of work on it. Like, okay, this is my structure of the day tomorrow, and I'm going to be doing this and this. And I feel like for me, when I do that, there's so much power in that. And it might seem like a huge task, but it really doesn't have to be, right? It can be 5 minutes at the end of your day.
Yeah, that's all it takes, yeah. 5 minutes. And it's great because otherwise, you know, I used to lay in bed thinking, oh, I need to do this, this, and this, mm-hmm. and this tomorrow. And now it's done. It's out. It's written down and it's right. out of your brain.
So hopefully you sleep better too.
Yeah.
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 All right. What else do you have for mindset?
Yes, my last one is what you mentioned before, really, is, yeah, don't get distracted by shiny object syndrome, which again was a massive thing. So shiny object is kind of, yeah, when you focus all your attention on something new or current in your constantly hopping from one thing to another, and that is really easy to do and something that I used to do all of the time. So again, it kind of goes back to how I was saying about I now do like this focus work time first. So I do the focus work in the morning, so that's kind of like your most important task for the day. So whether that's, you know, you need to do keyword research or writing a blog post or writing a newsletter or whatever, and you do that on, you know, with your phone on do not disturb and not distracted, and then you allow kind of any shiny object stuff or admin stuff to kind of be done after that session in the afternoon. So admin work is kind of obviously the stuff, the boring stuff that we need to do to keep the blog going, but we don't really want to do. So updating plugins or dropping links for roundup, social media, unless obviously a lot of your traffic is coming from social media, that's not your main priority, checking your analytics and stuff like that. So I kind of now try and allocate like an hour at the end of the day, and this came from the productivity course as well, to do all of those tasks, because I used to get up and the first thing I'd do was check my email. And when I was working in an office, that was just standard. That's what you did. You came in and you cleared your emails, and then you make way for more that come in through the day and you answer them as you go. But I find that was just constantly distracting from the focus of what I would needed to be doing. So now I try and, yeah, try is the word, but I'm trying to get all the shiny object stuff out of my head. So again, you know, phone away, out of reach, so you can't be distracted by social media. I turn the beeping off on my laptop now for my emails, so I don't hear them come in, which is good. And then I can just concentrate on what I want to do and then kind of get all the admin out of the way. I kind of tend to do that in the like my last hour of the day.
That is such a good idea. I've heard other people talk about strategies like this, and I've tried to implement this sort of thing.
It's hard. Yeah, it doesn't come naturally.
It is so hard, especially if, I don't know, I just feel like I get so much communication throughout the day that if I did that, I'd get to the end of the day and be so freaking overwhelmed by my inbox that I would scream and not have a good evening. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, yeah, maybe, I suppose it depends, doesn't it? It's who it suits, you know. Yeah. For example, your business is very different to mine, whereas so I don't have as much sure. communication, you know, coming through my email, so that kind of works for me. And maybe, yeah, like you say, maybe, I don't know, have two sessions. Maybe you could do an hour right. in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, something like that.
Or maybe even like noon, you know, like right after lunch or something, and then right before the end of the day, just so you can get rid of a little bit of it so it's not so overwhelming. Because I do see things come into my inbox at the end of the day that just set me off, and then I have a terrible evening. So it's something to experiment with, though, and just see what works for you. I think that'll probably be different for everyone. But admin is tough. That one is a struggle for me, and I know a lot of other people. You just don't know where to put it and what to do with it.
No, it doesn't. My job before, where I was working in the estate agents, it was actually an admin job. So that was my whole job. So to then kind of have to, whereas a lot of people, it's more the creative side and they hate the admin. My main job before was the admin. So to then try and to have to put all that, you know, to side and it not be important, it feels very alien. But yeah, I'm learning, I'm trying.
Lauren, is there anything else along the lines of mindset that you want to mention before we start saying goodbye?
I think the only thing is give yourself a break, really. So I used to make my lunch and bring it straight back up to my computer and just carry on working. And I did that for the first year before I kind of started looking into mindset and stuff, and probably close to a burnout. And now I have my lunch away from my laptop and I go for a walk every lunchtime and I listen to a podcast, which is what I love to do. So that kind of inspires me to go out for a walk, and I actually come back and I'm more positive and more productive. And I think easy to be like, oh, I'm too busy, but I think giving yourself a break is actually one of the most important things.
Yeah, as we said earlier on, I think this is so important to keep at the top of our minds, because the work honestly doesn't matter unless we're taking care of our mindset and doing all the things that you mentioned in this episode. thank you for all of this. This was so valuable. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have either a favorite quote or words of inspiration to leave us with?
I do. It's from our late Queen Elizabeth II, actually. And she said, "It is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most change." I think that kind of links back to another book, actually, which I know I think you've read, is The Atomic Habits of James Clear. Yeah. And just about getting that 1% better every day. And it's the small steps that are going to do that. And the small little gains will add up to big improvements. So yeah, just keep going and taking small steps, and that will bring about the most change rather than the big giant leaps.
Such a great way to end. Thank you for all of that, Lauren. We'll put together show notes for you. If you want to look at those, you can head to eblogtalk.com/scattymum. Tell everyone where they can find you.
So my website is thescattymum.com. I'm on Instagram at thescattymum, and I'm on Facebook at scattymum, just scattymum without the.
Yes, everyone go check Lauren out. And thank you again, Lauren, for being here. And thank you for listening, food bloggers. I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of eBlog Talk. If you are craving accountability, focus, and connection at a low monthly cost, join the eBlog Talk accountability group at eblogtalk.com/focus. I will see you next time.